Should we run through a like a summary of what we were just discussing?
Yes, Andrew, we should do a summary of what we were discussing as we begin episode 235 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, recorded on Monday, October 2nd, 2023. Teen Court. It's a thing.
Our core listenership of my mom is really going to love this because she was an advisor on Teen Court. Hey, remember how like our justice system is completely fucked up and like cops suck and everything like that? Well, what if like we tried to make it slightly better by like having a bunch of fucking kids like hear your sob story and like make sure these kids don't go to juvie for like bullshit reasons? And like if they're just chill and do the basic level of shit that they're recommended, then nothing really bad happens to them. Like,
yeah.
It's definitely more honorable than the fucking alternative of like circuit court judges like reading out sentences for 15-year-olds that got caught with a case of beer or something. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
I mean, like, so that kind of stuff does occasionally happen in like, you know, real life court shit too. Like, I remember there was a story a couple weeks back about some journalist who, you know, wrote a story about how like this local official had been using the police to like acquire dirt on people and then blackmail them, and they published the story about it, and then the police raided that guy's house and his like paper that he worked at and took all of his shit and charged him with slander. And then the like his punishment was like he had to write an essay in the newspaper talking about why cops are so important and good. Which
feels
is
like cruel and unusual.
Cruel and unusual, and also just sickening. But yeah. So what I really wanted to ask was, you know, we're going to make a hypothetical teen court case. And by hypothetical, I mean this happened in real life, and I know who these people are.
Their names have been changed in order to protect the innocent.
Yeah, exactly. So you had said that one of the biggest things that you saw all the time in teen court was just kids that had chewing tobacco on them.
Yeah.
Got picked up by the school resource officer, and they sent them to you, and you gave them a slap on the wrist or like 5 hours of community service, or they wrote an essay, whatever.
It depended on the kid. Like, we had like sentencing guidelines that we just pretty much followed to a T 90% of the time. Like, and it was just like, for this offense, give this. Like, it was pretty boilerplate. Yeah. 90% of the time. There was definitely some kids that were like, Jesus Christ, I think this kid got fucked over. Like, let's go light on him. Like, I don't think we ever went hard on a kid. I don't think it was ever like, this guy sucks. Like, let's do worse.
Did you ever run into somebody that you knew?
Oh, all the time, yeah. I mean, our school wasn't big. Like, yeah.
Oh, it was just your school. It wasn't like
it wasn't our school. Like, it was the Reedsburg, like, circuit court or whatever. Like, it was our town. Like, so yeah, no, I at least knew of pretty much every single person that came. And there was like one kid that I actually was like friends with, and you could like recuse yourself. Like, before every case, they'd be like, here's the list of people we have coming. Like, is everyone good to be on all these kids' cases? Like, and there was one time I remember just being like,
if I was friends with that person, I absolutely would have stayed on there and just argued for him. I'd do it for the homie.
It's just one of those things, right? Like, where it's like, no matter what, they're not going to be happy if they get anything at all, you know? So like, it's not worth fighting the good. And like, yeah, it's not like it was like my best friend or something. Right. Like, I didn't run in those crowds, but it was like, oh yeah, me and him would hang out at lunch sometimes and had a study hall together or something. And it was like, it's in that level where it's like, maybe not.
This is also one of those situations where, as a child, even if you realize this is like bogus, this is gesturing at like adult stuff. And you take that maybe, if you were a kid like we were, you take that with like some level of seriousness. But
well, the whole reason that we all like did it like is because it looked good on a college application. Like, literally, I remember one time we ran around the room like, hey, let's just talk about why we're here and everything. And like one person was like, oh, because I really believe and I think it's a good cause. And everyone else was like, oh, it just looks good on a college application. Wouldn't have mattered in the fucking slightest. Like, University of Wisconsin-Madison wasn't like oh wow, he's got a 3.92 GPA and a whatever on the ACT and all these extracurriculars. But
Teen Court.
Now he's got it. He's over the line. Like,
yeah. So,
please give us the hypothetical, Andrew.
So, Ryan, you're the only one with teen court jury experience. You're the only one qualified to pass judgment on this soul.
I agree. We didn't need a jury. In reality, it should have been teen judges, and we all should have been the sole person deciding the fate.
And you all wear wigs and long black robes.
Yep, exactly. We all take bribes.
Yeah, you're all Clarence Thomas.
Yep.
Your wife is a lobbyist.
My wife is a conservative.
All your friends are billionaires.
My wife is a conservative activist. Yes, absolutely.
So hypothetically, you've got a high school kid. He's
in a video game.
He's 17, 18 years old.
That actually makes a difference because 18 we wouldn't get. 17 does.
Okay, so let's assume that they are able to go to teen court. What you found out is that this person has been every morning going to the local gas station before school and buying several cartons of cigarettes and then driving
as a 17-year-old.
I think they're getting them from maybe their dad's buying them for them.
Okay.
I remember this person was not 18 because I asked, like, how are
you
getting
them? That's
what I was
going to say. Like, as a teen court,
it might have been
definitely like,
it might have been his older brother who was like in on it and like got a cut or whatever, but this person was not 18.
I'm shaking off the rust a little bit. I felt a bit of like a transformation there. I was like, whoa, that was like 11 years ago, but like, damn, I need to ask this question of like, how are they getting cigarettes?
What are the extenuating circumstances?
Yeah, exactly.
Going down to the local Riverside Park, which is next to the middle school.
Right.
And then selling cigarettes for $1
Lucy's?
Each. Lucy's.
Selling Lucy's?
To a large pack of children.
How old?
Like 13? 12, 13?
I don't know that we would have gotten this kid. I'm going to be honest with you. But anyway, continue.
And doing that every day for several months and making a fuck ton of money off of it. Yeah, and he had deals. He's like, $1 each or 5 for $4.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta. No, he's just a straight up. We definitely didn't get any like drug dealers. Like, I feel like that would have been the circuit court would have been handling that. But keep going. Yeah. Or is that it?
I mean, that's it. Yeah.
And then that's it.
And then like I found out about it and I was like, hey, man, that's like super fucked.
Yeah, that's like felony. We definitely did not get felonies.
This is not like iffy. That's really not cool, that thing you're doing. And he's like, they know what they're getting into. It's like, they're children.
Yeah, they're 13. If you're doing that around the high school, like, yeah, I think everyone's gonna be like, whatever, do your thing. Like,
Matt,
whatever.
Our tail end of hypes, the very end of high school for us, that's when the vaping craze was beginning. Like, come on.
Really?
Yeah.
My high school didn't have that as much vaping.
Oh my god! Last semester, senior year, constantly.
Wow. It like went off like a firework though. It was nobody had them, and then within the last few months of our senior year, they were everywhere.
That's wild.
Because that's when they got big.
Yeah,
like 2014.
No, you'd be just as likely to see someone smoking as you would vaping my senior year. That's interesting. Yeah, no, we definitely, because I feel like that's a felony.
Yeah.
Like that guy, it's definitely
the dealing. Yeah. I don't think he would have been referred to us if he would have. Like, damn, I'm sure like we had a coordinator who was like, she had like a bit of a legal background and stuff like that. She wasn't like a lawyer or anything, but like, I think she was like, the reason she was able to start up the program is because she was like kind of in those circles, like something with the county or the city or something like that. Cool kid court, that's terrifying. Like, so she would have probably been like, they would usually have the advisor or herself would come in like after we were done with deliberations and we'd like talk over what we recommended, and there was definitely times where she would like kind of put her thumb on the scale a little and be like, maybe we need to adjust this. So I'm sure that one would have been particularly heavy-handed of like, ooh, if we fuck this up, like this might take down the whole program. They're like, this guy who's selling Lucy's to preteens gets.
What was the hardest or harshest sentence you guys were able to hand out, and did you ever use it?
It's just like hours of community service. Like, we definitely never got like any.
You couldn't send them to jail.
No, yeah, we didn't have any sort of like loss of anything. Like, it was just like the hours of community service would stack, and then there'd be like additional like bonuses of like, ooh, pay restitution or write an essay, write an apology, give an in-person apology, like that type of thing. So
how much? Yeah. Go door to door to every single kid's house and tell their parents that you've been selling their kids cigarettes.
So two questions immediately come to mind. The first one I'm going to ask, Andrew, do you know how the story resolved? Are they still at large?
Yeah, the guy never got caught. Jesus.
Not as far as I know. I know that it's definitely not a thing that's happening anymore, because shortly after you and I graduated, they like cracked down on, not that specifically, but like the kids going to the Riverside Park because they were straight up like knife fights happening like all the time. Like, after we graduated, Lucas, that batch of kids that were in middle school were on another level.
Yeah.
Like, I knew about that because of my dad, and he's like, these kids are fucking insane.
Yeah.
And then like, we were like sophomores or juniors in high school, and he's like, we've had several stabbings so far this year. These kids are all carrying around knives, and they're meeting up at the park to have gang fights. Like, it's West Side Story.
We were I think we were a couple years ahead of you guys, because that was kind of my class. Like, we were kind of the, like, we were ushering in the new era where like the teachers were constantly like pulling their hair out and like, why I'm so confused. Like, you're so much, I've been teaching for 30 years and this is, everyone's so much worse now. Like, what is happening? Like, I don't know. We had like a bunch of pregnancies, and like people were having sex like crazy in like middle, like 12 and 13 year olds, just like going crazy. And yeah, we had like actual gangs in middle school, like, that would not, I don't know about knife fights, but definitely like full blown brawls, like with fists and everything like that. Like, it was, we were pretty kind of rough and tumble for sure, as like a class, as a body. I don't think I ran in those crowds, but yeah.
I think Andrew and mine's graduating class. There were the kids who showed up for everything, and then a lot of people who just kind of went there. Like, there was, yeah.
It was a pretty strong delineation between like normal functioning human beings, you know, maybe not all like honor students and, you know, like model citizens, but like just even like the kids that were fucking around, like functional. And then there were just like absolute degenerates.
Right.
Like, and there was nothing in between.
DKs.
Oh God, no, we can't start that again.
Stop it.
And the other question,
did that make it to, that didn't make it to Berlin? Come on, man. That was a thing.
We're not talking about dirty kids on the podcast again.
No.
And then my
it's
other
a Wisconsin
question.
Thing. I refuse to believe that you guys didn't have this. It wasn't a thing.
Have you, is, you've heard of this in other places? Like, you weren't the only school that called people DKs. I've never heard of that other than
definitely in my area. Yeah, it was a very well-known thing. Like, if you play sports against other teams, like, you kind of got to know the kids, because like sometimes you'd play them for fucking 12 years. Like, they were, you got to know them, and yeah, like, well, you'd talk shit and you'd be like, oh yeah, no, some DK like beat up his girlfriend last week, and ooh, that didn't go well. Like, oh yeah, some DK had sex on our fucking shop teacher's chair, and the shop teacher like poured a bunch of lighter fluid on and it burnt it out in the parking lot in a show of like anti-DK knowledge. I don't know, man. It's a real thing. You called them degenerates. How is that not worse than DK?
That wasn't a term we used frequently.
Well, you just did.
I'm
so
almost,
I don't know how that's,
I'm almost 30 years old now.
Like, so you're allowed to call them, am I allowed to call them DKs then?
They are my peers. Like,
you're a degenerate.
And then my second question.
I was kind of a degenerate.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, they're just like, man, there was so, do you know any of those degenerates in Berlin? Of course I know them. They're me.
How much bullying was tied to being a juror in teen court?
None for me. I mean,
really?
I,
okay.
I've said this before. Like, I had a weird experience all through school because, like, I mean, you said you show up for everything. Like, I was in teen court and I did music stuff and I did sports, like every single fucking sport, and got all sorts of good grades and was the class president and did all sorts, you know, like I was kind of just all over the place. So I don't think anyone could like pin me down on like one thing to make fun of, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, what are you going to say? Like, oh, wow, look at this try hard in school. Oh, wow, look at this guy who's playing four sports at the same time. Oh, wow, look at this guy who's like singing all the leads and everything. You know, like it's like if I only did one of those things and they became my entire identity, I think it would have been easy to make fun of me. But because like so many of them were my entire identity, it would be hard to like really drill down on the cringiest, like easiest to make fun of thing. So I did not get bullied too much.
Okay.
For it. I'm sure people did.
Yeah.
Lucas, so I don't know if you remember this aspect of like
are
us
you about
being
to
in
ask
school.
Me if I remember being bullied in high school?
No, we all remember being bullied in high school, Lucas. That was not what I was going to ask. So like most of it was probably a product of it being a small school, which, you know, put a lot of emphasis on like sports and there's a lot of farm kids and shit. But there was not a like a group of nerds. There was not like a group of smart kids that like weren't also part, like Lucas and I were on the honor roll.
Right.
So every member of the top 10 like section of the class were three sport kids. Like,
really?
Like, yeah, Lucas
we
did
had a lot
three
of
sports.
That for sure.
Like, Lucas was the valedictorian. He did three sports and band.
Yeah,
like,
two in golf, but yeah.
Two in golf. I love that. That's
hey.
Good stuff.
Like, point is, you lettered in a bunch of sports and like academics and band. And like, so did the other fucking top five kids. Like, they, like, there was definitely not a hierarchy of like, these are the nerds. And then even these are like the smart kids that also do sports. There wasn't a group that was just smart and didn't do anything.
I remember our school newspaper did like a Breakfast Club inspired photo shoot.
Yeah.
And they got me to be the nerd, which one I thought was weird because like, guys, I'm wearing a Letterman's jacket. Like I was varsity in cross country for all
this
4 years.
This was a bad day for you to pick me as the nerd. Yeah. Just
but
happened
then also,
to be wearing my jacket.
You were the
but then also we had an Andrew Clark in our school. Like, why?
Yeah.
Should have been Andrew. Andrew was the nerd. Yeah. We all knew it. Yeah. That's it's
a
the
deep
meme.
Cut.
Yeah. Where it's just like, oh, if you're every friend group has the annoying person that no one likes. And if your friend group doesn't, you're that one. Like Andrew's like, there were just no nerds in this high school. And Lucas is sitting there like, ooh, I don't know how to tell him this. Like,
I mean,
the
for
nerd's
one thing,
name in that movie is Andrew Clark. Like that.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. No, that's what he meant. He didn't mean
right,
like,
not
we,
like,
we had a fucking Andrew over there.
We had literally Andrew.
No, but like that's what I'm saying is that Lucas was a valedictorian. He was the only person that could have possibly qualified to be the nerd from the Breakfast Club, and he was a three sport lettering athlete. Like
not all
we didn't,
nerds
we,
are
we
like
we didn't have any of those kinds of nerds.
Not all nerds are like perfect 4.0s, though. We can acknowledge that, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There is geeks are definitely like
we,
not
we
tied
had
to
geeks.
Academics.
We had plenty of geeks.
Geeks
we had
are
the
not
Yu-Gi-Oh
tied
kids
to academics at all. Nerds are traditionally tied to academics, but they're not necessarily like perfect students. It's just like that's their identity. We had a ton of people like what you're talking about. Like me and like a lot of my friends were, like on the honor roll and went to like, you know, big name schools and everything like that. Like, but we also definitely had like a group of people where academics was their main focus. And like, they were fucking like whip smart. And like, they would usually do like band or, you know, something else. It wasn't just like they were focused entirely on academics, but like, I think that they were pretty solidly, like you could classically classify them as nerds more or less. Like not so much though. Just didn't really.
No, we
maybe
didn't
it's too
those.
Small. Maybe that's why you guys are so bad at sports, is because your nerds were trying to be athletic. Like
none of the nerds were on the football team. I'll tell you that.
There you go. That's the difference.
No,
your football
no
team
offense.
Is terrible again.
Yeah, that's so. What I mean. Like our football team fucking sucked, and there were no like super athletic kids on that team.
Right.
So
our football team was like fucking excellent and I'm thinking back to like our starters on offense at the very least, like over half of them went to like either UW or like Twin Cities or like another like giant like state school, not like Eau Claire or something like that. You know, like they definitely like, I don't know. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we were good. We did like the Sherlock Holmes thing where we like slowed down time and we're like, oh, punch right.
Discombobulate.
Yeah. Dislocate entirely. Just like snapping people's shoulders with our intellect.
I mean, like, so our girls' sports teams were all very good. And like those were made up out of like the smart girls on our, like in our school, especially in our grade. Like our volleyball team was really good. They went to like the state tournament. Our girls basketball team was really good. They went to the state tournament a couple times. Our girls cross country and track teams always had people like competing in state. And those were all the same people that were in like the top 10 smartest kids in our school, but not so much in the guys' sports.
I'm going to throw it out there though, that like, I think that genuinely, like you said, that like, oh, we had the people that showed up, and the people that like, or you know, the people that were like involved and like doing shit, and the people that were just like fucking completely checked out. Like high school's fucking easy, man. I'm sorry. Like I get it. It's not easy for everyone. Some people have really shitty situations growing up and everything. That shit's fucking bonkers easy. Like I like, sure, I'm sure the three of us don't represent the average like high school experience in terms of like how easy it is, but like there are definitely people that are not like of above average intellect, blah, 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 like that are just, that can absolutely fucking get straight A's. Like, it's just not that fucking hard, man. Like you show up, you do your homework, maybe do a little bit of studying for the harder classes, and you can absolutely get an A in high school. Like I just think it's that, like the people who are in sports are more likely to like give a shit and have like parents that are like actively being like, hey, you should probably try to get good grades so that you can try to get into a good college. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just feel like that's it more than anything, more than like, oh, we just had superhero jocks who were also smart. It's like, nah, I think just the jocks are more likely to give any level of a shit at all. Like, I remember when, do you guys remember when Jesus and Ian were talking about how shitty their schools were?
Yeah.
Like, and just how like half the kids couldn't read and shit like that. And it was just like really bad. They both grew up in genuinely like inner city high schools and everything like that. And then we looked up their standardized test scores and their schools were both higher than mine. By like a noticeable margin. Like they were testing better in every subject, but like especially math and shit like that. Like they were noticeably better. Like there was, it wasn't like neck and neck, like they were levels above us in terms of testing. And I don't know if we ever figured, like I think Ian's theory was like, oh, it's because the kids who didn't know anything wouldn't show up on those days. And I'm like, I feel like that also applies to my school. Like I don't know why, but like, yeah, my school wasn't fucking bastion of higher learning where it was like difficult to get a good grade. So maybe Berlin's different. Maybe you guys were fucking pinkies out sipping tea in your reading room.
I think, God, like once shortly after we had wrapped from college, I think Berlin's high school dropped to like four above the lowest in the state in standardized testing.
Nice. They were pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's weird because like Berlin has at different points been recognized for having like the best math department in the state, the best science department in the state. And just also like none of it happening at the same time. But then, you know, a couple people leave and everything falls apart.
Yeah, that is how it works.
Our
middle
life.
School was, yeah, our middle school was consistently like one of the best middle schools in the country, in like the state. They talked about the country. I don't know what the fuck any of that means. Nah. But then like our high school was shit. So it's like, I don't know how that works. Like that doesn't seem to make any level of sense to me, because like we're not like a school where, or a city that had more than one middle school. So it's like our high school consisted of the people from the middle school, which made up like 90% of the student body, and then like 10% of like homeschooled or like private school kids that had to, like, because there was no like private high school in my area, so they all had to come to a public high school, but like 90% of the kids were the same kids from the middle school. So I don't know how that happens.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think something like that happens because it's like any institution where like no one person is necessarily critical, but like a handful of positions are, man, if we get people who are good and enthused and know what they're doing, like this is all going to go well. This is all going to go really well. Mm-hmm. And even if just one of them sucks or is like, man, I got 3 years left before I retire and I'm going to show up for the minimum amount of time to get a paycheck, like then things can get really bad really fast.
Right. So like for just hypothetical in a video game, if like your principal got fired from his last job for sexual misconduct and then was known for like walking around the cafeteria giving candy to the pretty girls, like that'd be bad. That'd be like a bad sign that like maybe that high school's shitty.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
Maybe absolutely. No go.
100%.
Maybe no go on that.
I'll name names. Fucking Principal Taylor, Reedsburg Area High School. He's not there anymore. Rob Taylor. That man did some shit. That man should have never had a job as a school principal. He's gone now, thank God. But yeah.
Did he just leave or was there like another scandal?
I don't fucking know. I'm sure even if he left of his own volition, it was like kind of on the heels of like he felt the heat turning up and was like, ooh, time to bounce, like before.
Time to go be a predator somewhere else.
Yeah, time to bounce before this gets out of control. Yeah. By all accounts, the current principal is a lot better. He was the old vice principal and he was always a lot more even keel. Seemed like he knew more about what he was doing. But yeah, I remember the first time I saw that and I was just kind of like, haha, he has favoritism towards the pretty girls as like a 15-year-old and just being like not fully grasping the entire reality of what I was being presented with, that this 45-year-old bald man was walking around the cafeteria just being a literal like, oh, I got some candy in my van style predator towards a bunch of teenage girls. Yeah. Fun stuff, man.
Oh, and he was paid $131,000 a year to do that. Internet stalking him right now.
Yeah. And I mean, in Reedsburg, that's like 300K, man.
I was going to say.
The median income is like 50 grand, I'm sure.
Nobody in Berlin, Wisconsin's making that kind of money.
No, you can double that when you compare it to the national median income of like Reedsburg versus the national median income. Like that's some big time money. Does it say when he left? Like when was that posted?
Key data 2022. So he might have left very recently.
Oh, no, that must be his new job.
Oh.
Wonder where he landed. I'm going to Facebook stalk this guy. Let's go. No, it says Ridley Park, Pennsylvania, retired high school principal.
Ah.
Oh, yeah, he just left. June 2022, high school principal.
Hey.
That's, wow, I had thought that was like COVID time. He was a high school principal for 4 years in the Black River Falls School District, and then a high school principal for 4 years at the Fall Creek School District. And that was the one where there was plenty of rumors about why he left that job. And then he came to Reedsburg High School, where he served for 16 years. So that's good, right? That means good things.
Yeah, we talk about being in the Me Too era. We talk about finally having the ability to hold particularly men in positions of power accountable for their actions finally. Somehow, depending on who you ask, it is both not enough and too much. And this is... Oh, what the fuck?
Oh, and all these claims are not legally actionable, and all of this was said in a video game.
We're telling a story. We got this off Reddit.
Can't sue me.
This is third person.
He's got his pronouns in his LinkedIn bio, so he's an ally, guys.
Clap, clap, clap.
Yeah. La la.
Do I have my pronouns in my LinkedIn bio? Yeah, probably. Probably filled that out if it was a field.
I can answer that.
I barely got shit in LinkedIn. Like,
Hey, Lucas does have his pronouns. He's an ally, and I'm not. I'm a bad ally, guys.
I can't bring myself to update my LinkedIn profile.
Ever? Is it not up to date with your most current employment information?
It is, but I updated it like 18 months ago when I got a title change.
Oh.
And that was it. So
that's how you do it.
Listen, my understanding, if you're not planning on jumping anywhere in the near future, you don't. Yeah, you can let LinkedIn lie if the information is at least kind of accurate.
You heard it here first. Andrew is not looking for employment opportunities. If you contact him, he will shoot you down. So don't even bother.
Unless I didn't say that.
Yeah. There's someone with just like a 200 grand a year, like insane remote position. And they're just like,
oh, well, we were going to just give it to him.
Yeah. On to the next one.
Hey, we need a porn QA guy, 200K a year, full remote.
That's Andrew's dream job, baby.
That shouldn't be anyone's dream job. That sounds horrid.
That actually sounds like the worst possible job, just genuinely. Also, QA. Ugh.
No, wait.
I don't like the implications of QA when it comes to that profession.
No, yikes. You watch the final cuts and make sure there aren't any continuity errors and then seal of approval, 200K a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
So really, you're like an assistant editor. You're not a QA.
Well, assistant editor, you might have to get union for that, and like that's a whole process, but yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. We're a non-union shoot. This 200K a year job. That's non-union as fuck. You know what non-union jobs scream of? Very high pay.
Oh,
and great hours and working conditions.
If you just didn't have a union, man, your life would be so much better. You'd make so much more money. It'd be so much less annoying. You could spend your union dues on a video game console.
But unions get me more money, which I can use to buy a video game console.
To buy goods and services. Would I rather have three peanuts or three money?
I missed the pivot, but hey, CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, Jim Ryan, is stepping down. What are y'all doing if you were in charge of the Sony PlayStation brand?
Hey, ho, ho. PlayStation Plus has got to go. Make it free again. That was the greatest thing ever. That was such a competitive advantage over the Xbox, and we all got to shit on them for having to pay for online.
Yeah,
we had to start paying for online.
Yeah.
Yeah. PlayStation Plus Gold, excuse me, it's different.
It's like Game Pass, but much worse.
No, it's not. We have PlayStation Plus Gold, right?
No, we have PlayStation Plus Standard.
Are you sure?
Or Essential, it's called Essential. PlayStation Plus Essential, and then there's like two or three other levels of it that cost more money and then get you more shit.
Interesting.
They probably didn't want to call it Gold because of Xbox Live Gold or whatever.
I see it. PlayStation Plus Premium. Experience all the benefits. Monthly games, online multiplayer, exclusive discounts, exclusive content, cloud storage, share play, game help, game catalog, Ubisoft Plus Classics, classics catalog, game trials, and cloud streaming. Or you can get PlayStation Plus Extra, which is just like the game catalog. In addition, you don't get the classics or the game trials or the cloud streaming. And then you can get Essential, which is just multiplayer and cloud storage, which, yeah, we have Essential. So.
All I need.
We have
not
cloud
excited
storage?
About having to pay more for it, but
We have cloud storage.
Yeah, we do.
It syncs all the time. You don't get those errors where it's like, there was a problem. Yes. Local storage and cloud storage. Which one do you want? And you're just like, probably the most fucking recent one, asshole. Like,
what?
This could all be figured out pretty easily, man.
Give me an option. Default to whichever one has a bigger file size every time.
I don't know, that doesn't sound right, right? I just look at whatever one's the most recent. I was like,
well, the most recent one should technically have the biggest file size because it's got more on there.
What if you're in like a... I don't know. Fuck, it works. What if you're in like a big area and there's more stuff load it onto the save state. I don't fucking know how it works, man. Jesus.
We don't have to talk about this.
I'm just a gamer boy. My brain is smooth.
There's not a single thought. A goddamn bowling ball.
Thought up there.
Hey, if I was the CEO of PlayStation, I'd just buy all the Konami IP that they're sitting on and doing nothing with. I think that development studio, the games they put out, the games they still own, kind of integral to PlayStation as a brand, going all the way back to the original one. Yeah, so it'd be cool if, like, Sony could make, I don't know, a new Castlevania game that's actually good, because Konami ain't gonna do it.
If I'm Sony, I'm buying Nintendo. They may not realize. If I'm John PlayStation,
yeah,
I'm buying Nintendo. Nintendo may not know that their future lies within Sony, but they will.
They'll soon learn. Yeah. Mm. No, John PlayStation is a title like James Bond. Like you were Andrew Clark, but when you become CEO,
it's like the Dread Pirate Roberts. Yeah.
Yeah. You adopt the name, the nom de plume of John.
You put on the mantle of John PlayStation.
This guy, I will say, Jim Ryan, looking at the picture of him, he does give off John PlayStation vibes. Maybe it's the giant PlayStation logo behind him, but like the spiky white hair and like the
overall stance.
Like, he really does give off John PlayStation. Like, this is it. He is PlayStation. This is who he is. It must be nice to retire after 4 years on the job. Like,
right?
Yeah.
Christ.
Ryan, it was so difficult for him to work with mostly Americans while based out of Europe.
Oh my god. My stomach hurts. How much did he make last year? Fucking 20 million?
Right.
I don't know. I'm looking it up. My CEO makes way more than that. So I just make estimates, but like I know that not all CEOs make as much. Just 11 and a half million, guys.
Oh, like, only 11 and a half mil?
Yeah, that's actually a common misconception. I don't take a salary.
Yeah, no, he does not make 11 and a half million. He makes $300,000.
He's just like us. He doesn't make money from this. He doesn't get a salary.
He's just like us. You guys are getting paid? Imagine a CEO who like actually believed that and didn't understand how stock bonuses work.
Yeah,
like,
no, he went to the board. Just doing it for the love of the game.
Or just like went to the board and was like, guys, I was like talking to my accountant and he said I don't get paid a salary. Like, I'm not saying I should like make millions of dollars, but like probably I should get paid, right? Like, I do have a stressful job. It doesn't.
It's hard to make ends meet right now. Yeah, like,
I'm about to get evicted. Like, can I get something?
You have 4,000 million bajillion dollars in stock options.
Right. Your restricted share units have sat untouched for 20 years. They have all vested. Your net worth is in the nine figures.
No, but like, just,
and you're about to be evicted from your one bedroom apartment.
No, but like, I'm John PlayStation and I can't like buy a PlayStation Essential subscription with those stocks. Like,
I bought a used PlayStation 5 on Facebook Marketplace.
I go to those Facebook Buy Nothing groups and I pick up old video games whose people's kids aren't playing anymore. I really, it's been tough to do my job, man. I'm not going to lie to you.
I just finished playing Uncharted 2 on the PlayStation 3.
I went to a yard sale and bought a PlayStation 2 with the $2 that I scrounged up in quarters sitting around the parking lot. I'm trying to get familiar, guys, but it's really becoming a hindrance on my performance. Just any sort of stipend would really go a long way.
I'm John PlayStation. I'm one bad day away from sucking people off to make bus fare. That would be a genuine suggestion of mine, though. I don't know how they do it, but if they could get the PlayStation
people for bus fare,
they probably do it sloppy.
Yeah.
I don't know how PlayStation does it, but if they could bring PlayStation 2 vibes back, yeah.
What does that mean, dude? The 90s was a long time ago. Yeah. We can't go back.
If they can bring back PlayStation 2 vibes, like, can they bring back my childhood? That's your.
Can they bring back shorter lines at TSA?
I just want to remember, man. I was 8. It was nice. I felt cozy. Can we bring that back, please?
How do we bring gaming back to a pre-9/11 era? How do we do it?
Kill the internet?
Murder online multiplayer. Destroy the social fabric of our country. Yeah, that'd be fun. Do it. Why not, man? Bring back couch co-op.
Yeah.
Remember when you had to go out on play dates to play multiplayer video games?
Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
I wouldn't even need my mom to give me a ride anymore because I can drive my
own car.
I
still have my mom give me a ride.
Yeah. I feel like just for the vibes. You said you want to bring back the vibes. Yeah. You gotta have like where you're in the basement of your friend's house and the dad is working a night shift. So you have to be like kind of quiet, even though you're playing like the most exciting game of Need for Speed Hot Pursuit that you've ever played in your entire life. So you're jumping up and down, kind of scream whispering. That's the vibes, man. You gotta keep them intact. That's what I'm hearing. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
We could do it.
We can go back. We're losing
John PlayStation. You heard it here. Divvy up the crown. Make 3 John PlayStations. Give it to us.
John, Jonathan, and Johnny.
Hey.
John's the face. Jonathan's the numbers guy. Johnny's the fun.
He's the loose cannon.
He just is the wild card. He buys Nintendo on a whim. And then Nintendo says, what? No, you didn't. You can't do that.
Oh, I thought you meant he bought a Nintendo.
Oh, like, he just bought
a
Switch.
Hey, I'm Johnny PlayStation, and I'm here to tell you why Nintendo Switch rocks.
This shit's fucking rad, dude. You ever played Skyrim on a bus? It's fucking lit, man.
Hey, guys, I just got out of a meeting with the Johns. Good news, 4-day work week. Fantastic. Bad news, they just said PlayStation 5 has no games. Make games. They kind of want that handled by the end of the quarter. Yeah. So, yeah.
They kept repeating Xbox greater than just over and over. Like they were robots.
You hear in the background someone go like, chicken nuggies. Bring chicken nuggies.
They all got Project Scorpio tattoos. It doesn't look good, but they're going to make a whole thing out of showing it to you guys later. And you have to be enthused about it.
They're saying we should replace PlayStation VR with the Kinect, and that the Kinect was always the superior art form.
We are no longer allowed to have, quote, those anime games, unquote, on PlayStation. I don't think they know that we're owned by Sony Japan.
One of them said something along the lines of, get the brain chip. Elon said it on a Joe Rogan podcast once, and that sounded pretty cool. That's probably the future of gaming. I don't know. And that's a direct quote. So
that's, dude, we got to get some action items out of this. Let's like, I mean, I don't know what results we're going to deliver, but like, we got to mine this shit. Y'all have done that, right? Where like something comes down and you're just like your eyes glaze over and you're like, so I just need to like do something. I don't think it's going to be what they want, but like, something needs to be done so that I can like present findings.
Like, okay,
it doesn't make sense.
You've got a bunch of ideas. Like, what do you want me to do? Like, what's something that you need to be done that I can do that is even remotely related to all the shit you just said?
What's a concrete thing?
I don't.
Because improve performance and raise morale and make it better are not things that I can do. Those aren't items that a person can act upon.
I don't even think I have the login password to get into the thing that lets me know if the ideas you're ruminating on are even actionable.
When we get out of a D&I seminar and it's just like, man, we all got to think of how we can do better. And it's like, hiring people from diverse backgrounds, like, I can't really do that though. Like, I could try. I don't know. We'll do our best here.
Yeah. Speaking of people doing their best, the WGA strike is over, and it seems like they got everything they wanted.
Yeah, that's how they're going to sell it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I saw Adam Conover talking about like how they got everything that they wanted. I don't think that's true, because he left out a couple of things that I distinctly remember them asking for. So,
I mean, they got the big stuff. They got the streaming residuals. They got the no AI unless the writers want it, which is a weird concession in there, but okay.
I mean, you know why.
Nah.
You use ChatGPT to get a little prompt on stuff here and there.
I have no never AI used
unless
GPT.
It makes it easier for us.
Mm.
Wait, did you say you've never used ChatGPT?
I don't want to engage.
I've never used it. I've never used any AI.
What is wrong with you guys?
You know, what am I going to use it for?
Fucking Luddites. Oh my God, dude. You ever get an email that you're just like, oh, I can, an AI could write a response to this email, and then you just have the AI write a response to that email?
Gmail has the suggested responses already.
Well, that's like, sure, or like, no, like, I ever get like a, oh, this is, I need to find a way to, I don't know, just like a million things.
I don't put a lot of thought into the emails that I send. That shit's pretty off the cuff.
Mm.
Yeah. The streaming residuals, though, is not based on the metrics that they wanted, but they're kind of shushing that up, because again, they just, when everyone wants to go back to work, it's fine. Yeah. It'll be fine.
It's better. Definitely a win. Oh, I don't know if it's a capital W win, but it's definitely a win.
It's progress.
Eh.
That is for certain.
How long is the contract?
Did you see what?
How long is the contract?
3 years?
Oh, possibly long. Oh, the time span. They meant the legalese of like the actual.
Oh, no. Not how many pages. How long does the contract last?
Yeah. It goes every 3 years.
Okay. Well, that's fine then.
They're going to re-up in 26. Writer's strike part.
Nah,
they've had a lot. They've had a lot of strikes. I looked back through it.
Mm.
It's the only way to get shit done sometimes. But, yeah.
All right.
Progress. You see that Newsom then vetoed the bill that would allow people who are like striking workers to
file for unemployment.
Yeah, file for unemployment. And apparently that was always the plan. Like, California legislature was like, oh, we'll put this bill out as like a fake bill, show solidarity, and then it'll always be vetoed and it'll always not go forward. Like, what?
That's I don't get politics. I don't know how Dems market that. I don't know how they like campaign on that, but okay.
Look at all these things that we've shot down that you wanted. Isn't that cool?
Especially with Newsom like gearing up to definitely run in 2028. Like, hey man, Joe Biden walked the picket lines. I'm not as pro-union leftist as Joe fucking Biden.
I mean, listen, okay, is that a fine political gesture? Sure, whatever. Call me when Joe Biden helps flip over a cop car. Like, that's where I'm at. That's my show of solidarity.
Can you fucking imagine if the president of the United States was just like tossing out Molly cocktails?
Kobe! Just like yoinking them. Yeah, putting traffic cones over tear gas canisters and dumping
riding around on a police horse that he stole. Fuck the cops! Fuck the cops!
What are you doing? Yeah, he's like the super woke, like the speaker that's talking to the camera is like, we just need to dismantle these systems, man. They're so fucked up. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
The man is like trying to get at us, man.
You literally don't understand that these systems don't have to be the way they are. Like, we've all been brainwashed into thinking that the way things are the way things have to be. It's bullshit. Wake up. And it's just like the president.
He's saying it to Congress.
Yeah.
He's like, ACAB includes the Secret Service detail.
ACAB includes the FBI investigators who are looking into my numerous assassination plots.
Speaking of plots, a judge has found Donald Trump, his family, and the companies they own guilty of fraud, principally relating to the great exaggeration of Trump's personal wealth and the value of his companies and properties. unless successfully appealed, which I think is happening right now, Trump cannot do business in the state of New York for 5 years, has to pay a fine of $250 million, and have the companies he owns distributed to other groups and dissolved. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. It's a lot.
He's always been doing that, though.
Right.
It was the whole, like, why the fuck did he want to be president again? Like, he just called so much scrutiny on himself. Like, he's been mobbed up and shady and, yeah, like, grossly inflating his perceived net worth. Sometimes just based on, like, my name is worth X billion dollars.
I think that was actually a statement and potentially legal defense that he made of this. It's like, no, these financial documents that I submitted to the state don't account for the wealth of my brand. So I am lying to the state in these formal documents, which should prevent me from being found guilty of fraud.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is legit or not, but I saw a thing going around online that apparently all of the Trump kids that Donald Trump cares about, their homes are technically owned by one of his companies, and thereby about to be distributed and dissolved. So the Trump kids are all going to be homeless, potentially. That's fun to think about.
They're not going to be homeless. They're going to have one of their houses sold.
They can all crash at Mar-a-Lago together. They can make a little bed out of the nuclear documents that are probably some still there.
They've got several houses, and some of them aren't even on the books. Like, they're going to be fine.
Yeah. Well,
of course they're going to be fine. It's just fun to think about.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, man, that'd be cool if, like, you know, everything fell apart for them.
Yeah. You know? I can wish for bad things to happen to bad people.
Be mad Liddy. Mad Liddy, my guy.
Andrew, we meant to get this in last time, but we can lead with this. You are have watched Foundation?
Yeah. I'm about halfway through season two, so I'm not quite done yet. Yeah, I watched all of the first season of Foundation, and then a couple days ago I started season two. I like it a lot. I'm not sure that it would be up the alley for either of you guys. I know, Ryan, you said that you, like, did watch episode one and didn't get into it.
I'm a spaceman, though.
Yeah.
I'm a spaceman.
Boop, beep, pop, pop, pop. Yeah, it's an interesting concept of, like, this math guy who's really good at math, Jared Harris. He's good at math.
Dude, he's so fucking... What if there was a guy who was so good at math that, like... Oh, man. He'd be so good at math. Be so cool.
Who, like, predicts the fall of the Galactic Empire. And then, like, in an effort to, like, save, like, the knowledge of humanity, starts this thing called the Foundation to, like, build up, like, all the technology and knowledge that humanity has gained over the last, you know, hundreds of thousands of years, so that, like, after humanity rises from the rubble of the Galactic Empire, they can, like, get back to where they were without, like, having a dark age. And then it's telling the story over the course of hundreds of years. A few of the characters are lasting during that period of time through, like, you know, sci-fi trickery and shit like that. But a lot of them are just, like, being cycled through, like, at regular intervals. So, like, it's a really interesting sort of, like, multi-generational concept where something that one person did that wasn't, like, killed off in a Game of Thrones sort of way, but is no longer alive, like, matters to something that somebody else is doing 150 years later. That's cool. I think the acting is mostly pretty good, and there are a couple of characters I'm like, oh man, they are just out of their depth right now. Like, there are, like, really good performers in the show, and then a couple of people that are just okay. And, like, a lot of the characters, because they don't have, like, you know, multiple season long arcs, I think there's, you know, a lot of character kind of stuffed into them in a short period of time, which does a couple of different things. One, it makes characters really interesting right away, which is cool. But also there's a lot of like really forced complexity that is like kind of what's the term? Like whiplashy.
Okay.
Where there are characters where you're like, oh man, you really empathize with where they're coming from. But then 3 minutes later, they do something like so objectively evil and heinous. And then that's followed up with like trying to maintain that sort of like empathy and like perspective. Like, oh yeah, I get where they're coming from. I get why they do that. But they did just kill 4,000 people. Like that kind of shit. It's also being told like from multiple different like locations. Like there's a couple different storylines happening. There's the Galactic Empire with the Emperor, who is just called Empire, and there's three of them who are all clones of each other, who are constantly being cycled in and out. Like currently on episode 4 of season 2, we're at Cleon the 18th. Cleon the 18th, and we're introduced at the beginning of season 1 to Cleon the 9th, I want to say. And they've got a whole thing that's like really actually super interesting with like how they live their lives, as like they are Cleon Day, like everyone calls them Day, and he sits the middle throne and he's in charge. And there's Cleon Dusk, who's the old wizened guy who, you know, gives different perspective. And then there's Cleon Dawn, who is like the younger one who's kind of coming up and like learning and like offers that like youthful ignorance and shit like that. And then they like will cycle through, and then one of them gets incinerated at the end when the new one's born, and they just keep going through that cycle. So it's super cool, but also like, oh man, I can't care about anyone for longer than a couple of episodes. And it's like, oh, like I kind of wanted to see where that character's going, but they died 70 years ago, I guess. So yeah, it's really interesting. I'm liking it. I think there's plenty of flaws, but also super expensive looking show. Like there are some insane visual effects, and like it's really, really good. Like it's a really cool looking show, and the effects are awesome.
They got that Apple money, baby.
Mm. This sounds as fun as does Hetty. That all right, we're in an era of weird sci-fi again, and that is A-okay with me.
Half of it's on Apple TV.
You know, something has to be on Apple. Also, speaking of characters that you can empathize with, but then will also turn around and then do something objectively horrible. I'm 3 episodes away from having watched every BoJack Horseman episode. Yeah, getting through that with my partner. Having a good time. It's one of her favorite shows. Had been one of mine. Quickly becoming that again. Good television. And weirdly still... I guess this is the hallmark of like good art. But still relevant. Not just in like themes, but also in the way characters talk and what they reference. Final season came out in 2020. And no, like it's still spot on. We're still having conversations about like the actual value and efficacy of the Me Too movement in a way that's being pointed out in BoJack Horseman final season. So yeah, I'm enjoying that. Also, the bit of Henry Fonda's the sex robot turned the CEO of what time is it right now.com. That's pretty good. And any joke where Todd gets to be the straight man is one of the best jokes in the show. So, yeah.
They do a good job.
What, Ryan, do you know what Raphael Bob Wackersberger is up to?
I don't know if he's doing anything right now.
Okay, he doesn't have to. Like, if BoJack Horseman is... if that's the pinnacle... the end note of his career, that is a hell of a way to go out.
He's worked on Tuca and Birdie.
That makes sense.
But I don't know, you know, how much he was really doing on that. They list him as a voice actor, a writer on 2 episodes, an executive producer. And I guess now he's working on a show called Undone on Prime Video, which I've never really seen or heard anything about.
Okay. Getting that Amazon money, fair.
Yeah. Adult animated psychological comedy drama TV series. Oh, it uses rotoscoping.
Huh.
Explores the elastic nature of reality through its central character.
Okay.
No idea.
What are you checking out, though, Ryan?
I watched the first two episodes of Gen V. Did either of you guys check that out?
No. How does it hold up to the boys, period, or the first season, at least? Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for. I was waiting to see if someone told me anything other than,
It's just not the same vibe, like, at all. Like, it's in the same universe, and they keep trying to, like, tie it into, like, you know, like, the CEO woman shows up, and,
right.
like, they keep making references to, like, the main show, but, like, it really fundamentally making a show about the superheroes is not what The Boys is about.
Right.
Like, the superheroes are an antagonistic force in The Boys. Like, they are not the main characters. They're not even really characters a lot of the time. Like, they're really just like a force to be opposed by The Boys.
They're representations of things that are wrong with society.
Right. Like, and not necessarily that fictional society, like, mm-hmm. also our own society. So to then, like, I don't know, put it in a completely different context and a completely different lens and make it about a bunch of college kids who by and large all seem to be at worst, neutral characters, you know, like they all seem to be like trying to do their best, even though they're superheroes. And like what we know about superheroes makes that seem weird. Like, it's like, oh, so they all just like get shitty when they're in their mid-20s. Like, I don't know how this all works. Like, you kind of, I feel like I had something of like, oh, it's got to be the V is part of it, right? Like, that predisposes you to like certain aspects of behavior that are not necessarily easily accessible to all of us. Like,
or just that, like, I am literally bulletproof. Like, there is, can society do to me?
I think it's more of the like the corrupting power of like fame and money and notoriety
and power.
The corrupting power of power. I don't think V has like an assholification effect. I think it's just what it does to you makes you special, and people that are told all the time how special they are and then become powerful and rich and famous, you know, a lot of times turns out that they're pieces of shit.
No, definitely, like, if like V were to be responsible, I still think that V is like a representation of like how we give power to people too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just like all power is earned and or taken. It's like we, like, as a group, as a population, assign people power sometimes, even if they've done nothing to earn it at all. And so it's like V sometimes I feel like is the embodiment of like just this random happenstance that like your parents kind of abused you in a lot of ways, and like for some reason we're assigning that like worth and value. And so I feel like, yeah, if it was like V is also some sort of corrupting influence, it'd also be another layer of that. But yeah, no, like I guess to, yeah, just see like a bunch of college kids that are by and large all kind of just doing their best. It's like, well, wait, I don't know.
And these kids all like have superpowers and mm-hmm. are superheroes, right? They're
every single one.
They're not like trying to figure it out. It's not like a Sky High thing where they like are trying to learn how to use their superpowers.
Yeah, they all by and large like are like they know their powers. They know how to use them properly. Like a lot of them are like already famous. Like that's what they're talking about, is like you got into the school, that's crazy, because like a lot of people, they got in here, they've already like done crazy superhero shit, or they already have like millions of social media followers. Like it's like they only take the best of the best, who are like, it's the equivalent of, you know, like people in high school that were in like, you know, they were national merit scholars and stuff like that, where it's like they're so like heads and shoulders above all of their peers that it's like, no, this is what this school is. So yeah, it's not like, other than the main character who's like kind of like, you know, she's the entryway, she's kind of like the most grounded of them, because that's how you make a TV show. Like, if our lens character was Butcher, I don't think the boys would have hit the same way. Like the fact that our lens was Huey, and it's just like, no, Huey's just a regular person, and we can see how we got here. Like that's I think what they're gonna do, a similar thing I'm imagining with her. Like, yeah.
Matt, just even hearing that all of the characters are superheroes and can therefore probably just use their superpowers to solve any problems they find themselves in, it, like, I don't know, I might be alone in this opinion, but those first couple episodes of The Boys, where it was all structured around how do we kill this guy with bulletproof skin who we also can't see, like, that is, I don't know, that was fun, that was interesting.
It was and unique, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the characters that we empathize with were always at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
And, like, had to be creative. And that was what made the show, like, so interesting for a little, or one of the reasons why it was interesting.
Right. And the inherent, like, powerlessness of it all, like, that's how we feel in the society every fucking day. So then, yeah, to see a character kind of come up against this power structure that is seemingly completely bulletproof, and still devise a way to get around it, is like, oh, cool. And yeah, like, now we've reached the point in the main The Boys where it's like, well, they're just like kind of cheating to like get around it. And it's not,
we're going to get a superhero to help us out, and we're going to give ourselves,
we're
going to
be superheroes. Yeah. Like,
we can just get three guys and beat up Homelander, a metaphor for Bush era American imperialism.
The worst fight. Yeah. And so, yeah, now they're just making a show also about superheroes who are not all shitty monsters. I kept waiting. Maybe there'll be a reveal. Like, I'm only two episodes in, that like one of the people that you've kind of empathized with, like, was actually shitty and in on it the whole time. But like, as it stands, two episodes in, like, there is not a single negative character in the show. Like, everyone's been kind of like, ooh, like, no, what are they up to? Like, they're pretty neutral. They did a good thing there, but like, they seem like they might be doing a bad thing here. Like, I don't know. I feel like you need stakes, right? Like, you need some, it can't just, it's very puzzle box, which I feel like The Boys kind of isn't. You know, like, The Boys isn't like, what's that? Like, I guess the head popper was a puzzle box for a while, but like, it was way in the background. Like, it was like, whatever, like, just kind of a running plot line until it wasn't. Like, I mean, is all puzzle box. So,
I mean, are there themes? Like, is there any kind of social what I really liked about that first season of The Boys is that it was a really tight, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, satire, takedown, but fundamentally had an understanding of, like, yeah, post 9/11 Bush years. Like, that's what like was the bad guy in a lot of The Boys season one.
There's definitely themes, and they're trying to get at it. They're trying to like make something of that similar power imbalance. Like, Vought is all over the place still, obviously. Like, they're the central bad guy in the whole thing, but it's like, I just don't think that they're hitting it as well. The satire is not there. There's funny gags here and there. Like, they, one of the fun, I don't know, are you guys going to watch it? I don't want to necessarily spoil it. Like,
go for it.
No.
There's one bit where, because it's Godalkin University, it's like God you, like, this is what they're going for, is it's like the best of the best. And so they, like, basically the number one draft pick, they literally have a superhero draft, and like A-Train was drafted for like round one, pick one by the Seven, like, and so they're, that's like the intro. It's like, oh, first black man in the Seven, like, again, I mean, you know, Obama years, like, there's some of those critiques in there. I can see it. And like, then they go through like the other like top 10 of God U, like, through the years. And it's like Queen Maeve, number one, like, because it's like they rank all their students, I guess, on a hierarchy. And like 1 through 10, they're like the ones that get the big city contracts, which we've heard a little bit about with like the guy from Cleveland and stuff like that. It's like, so yeah, like, it's like Queen Maeve, number one, like Black Noir. I don't know if Black Noir was one of them, but like, they're going through number one. And then they're just like The Deep, number six. And it's like, even at this school, he wasn't like the best of the best. He was still like one of the guys, like, he's up there, you know, that's something to be proud of. Like, There's definitely like still some offbeat, like, ah, yeah, that's in the original humor of the show. Like, I see what they're doing, but it's just still not. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times it's just coasting on the main show, like being like, I know that. So.
One last thing to talk about. I do have a little bit of an out coming up, but no rush. I finally got to the Druid village, I guess, in Baldur's Gate, where they're about to do a holy crime, holy war, religious hate crime against the tieflings. When you guys got to that, did you explore around at all and like find a I think it's called a bear bug assassin?
Bear bug assassin.
Yeah.
I don't know that we did find an assassin.
Okay.
Assassin?
Bugbear, yes.
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I... That was one of the first things that happened to me when I got there. And I'm wondering if that's going to change story complications at all. Because, yeah, like... A lot of the tieflings were kind of nudging me towards, hey, what if you just killed her? What if you just killed the druid lady who was really racist towards us? Like, that could be a solution to this problem.
And you did it?
No, I haven't done that yet. I'm going to go try to find like their actual leader who seems like he'll be more sympathetic towards the tieflings.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
Yeah. Are we... Ryan, you know more about how the like game works than I do. Are we able to like hop into Lucas's campaign, or do we need to start a new one?
No, we could hop in, but I think Lucas wanted to start a new one.
I'd like to.
He had ideas in the Tumblr.
I could role play. I kind of want to be Duralius from Duralius and Associates.
Oh my god!
I will say, by the way, that like having, I feel like Andrew, I don't know, I don't want to speak for you necessarily, but like there are not that many opportunities to role play. It's kind of sometimes disappointing. Like it's just kind of like, oh, let's pick the dialogue option that our character would say, but like,
and usually it boils down to like, will you help this person or will you not? Like you can choose dialogue options that like will get you one place or another. But yeah, there's a lot of, well, we could kill this person or we could not kill them. What would you do? Like, you seem like you would probably kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's not as much like goofiness. Like I feel like in Grand Theft Auto back in the day and like GTA Online, we did a lot of role playing because it's just more sandboxy. Like you could just make your own fucking universe, you know, like, oh, this guy's the president and we're all assassins trying to hunt him down, and oh, I got a helicopter now. I'm a helicopter pilot assassin. And you know, like it's when you're not given as many tools to be able to do that as you would in like a tabletop RPG. Like it's fun. Like I think just the character reveals are the most fun that you'll get out of the role play. And then after that, it's like, all right, let's keep going. So my next character, I'm like really trying to fucking bake it in, and it might get annoying. So have fun with that, you guys.
Oh boy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. I feel like in our campaign, Ryan, like everyone's just like, they have a bit and like they do the bit and like they make a couple of cracks about it being a bit and then that's it. Like that's the character. And there's tons of like goofy moments in the gameplay, which I'm sure you've come across shit like that too, Lucas, just because in the combat, and like how you approach a situation, that's when you have tons of choices. That's when you can like really go, oh, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to set this trap. I'm going to like approach it from this angle with this person there and shit like that. And you can do just like funny shit where it's never not funny to just sneak up behind a guy and push him off a cliff.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Or when things just go horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah.
It's just like, what was the plan? What was the plan? I just want you to explain to me what the idea was so I can understand.
I was looting an abandoned church where you find that like I think it's called Withers or something. I went into one room, everyone failed the perception check.
That's cool.
So then I like read the plaque and all of a sudden I'm in like turn-based mode and I'm like, what is happening? Are there enemies coming? What is going on? So like I try to get people to cover. Turns out I had set off a fire trap, and the cover I had chosen for my entire party was within the line of the fireball that shoots out of the wall. And so everyone died like immediately. And I had to, I don't know if that save's coming technically, but yeah, I had to go back to a previous save.
Yeah, we've had debates about save scumming in our campaign, like how to properly utilize the save system, where it's just like, we can't just save and then try something and then reload a save. Like that,
right,
to me, is violating the spirit. Like if we all are really trying our fucking best in combat and we fail, like that's when the game is like designed to like, oh, you failed, like time to go back to where you were before. Like, but when it's just like, no, we can't just be out of combat and like, oh, this is a sticky situation. What if we fuck it up and, you know, we lose these resources? Like, oh, we'll just go back to an old save. And it's like, no, we should lose the resources. Yeah. It should be a consequence. Like, we should have to pay. Like, when the only death that we've had in the entire campaign that didn't result in a wipe was when someone fell into lava. Yeah. And we had to buy them back. And it was great. Like, it was gold the way that it was just like, oh, you're in lava. Well, how do we
get you out?
You're in lava. Like, can we save you? And then just like desperately scrambling to save them, of course it inevitably failing because they're in fucking lava.
Yeah.
And then yeah, like,
well, we got three people in this fight now.
Yeah. Winning the fight and paying money to get out of it. Like, yeah, not like a normal, I don't know, a normal co-op multiplayer game where it's just like, wipe, like let's start back
again,
most recent save. Like, it's cool to try to like work that into the campaign. So, yeah, we got to do it.
Yeah. And I think that will do it for episode 235 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, which will almost certainly be titled The Corrupting Power of Power. If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Support us on Patreon. Join the likes of Tiffany Cole and Sucky Badger. Actually, link in the description to help some great progressive causes. Follow us on Twitter at V2_podcast. Follow me, Lucas DeRuyter, on Blue Sky to keep up with everything I have going on. And yeah, have a great rest of your week, everyone. Goodbye.